The passage that we're looking at in John chapter 12 is probably a very familiar passage to everyone here. And it's one that if you read it, you will identify with the good guys and commend them for their good deeds. And you'll identify with the bad guys and you will be glad that they get taken to school on their bad deeds and are judged accordingly. And you'll just move right through it because, nothing really dramatic is taking place here tonight. It really isn't anything that's going to happen in our lives. But I suggest to you tonight that the attitudes at least, if not the actions, that we will find here are things that we need to consider in our own lives and be very careful about in making quick judgments. What I want to do is read through the passage real quickly here. Note who's doing what. Just say, that's good, or no, that's not good. So let's look at it. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Well, it doesn't say who they is. But whoever they is, they made a supper. And in and of itself, that's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. And Martha served. Well, we know who Martha is from previous chapters here in John chapter 11. She's there at the resurrection of her brother. And earlier, she's there in Luke's gospel serving a dinner. And we find her serving again. And we say, serving a dinner, that's a good thing. Martha's a good person. Wonderful. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, we know Lazarus is a good guy. The last chapter said specifically Lazarus was one that Jesus loved. So we know that he's a good guy. But we look at him, we say, well, he's sitting at the table with him. He's not doing much of anything. And we might have a question in our mind as to whether he was just shirking any responsibilities of ministering to Jesus or was he really ministering to Jesus. Well, we'll come back to that. Then Mary took took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, since we know the end of the story, we can easily pass judgment quickly. But pretend for a moment that you didn't know the story. And you see Mary taking this ointment and anointing Jesus' feet. And you would say, well, maybe that's something that I wouldn't do, but okay, so she did it. But there's a question here, and it's a question that we're going to have to deal with in this study. It says that this ointment was very expensive. And you might say, well, was this too extravagant? Well, we'll deal with that. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, well, we know he's a rascal, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag and bare what was put therein. Well, here comes Judas along, and he's seeing an opportunity. We should have sold this stuff. Apparently, he went on eBay. He looked up the value of the ointment. And he said it's worth at least 300 denarii or pence. Remember that a denarii is the average worker's pay for a single day. So that's 300 days. Now understand that there was one day of the week that they didn't work, the Sabbath. So what you have here really is 50 weeks worth of pay. It's all but 2 weeks of a year. So that was expensive stuff. And we might say to ourselves, you know what? He might have a point there. Could this ointment have been something a little less extravagant? And some of the money then given to the poor. Maybe he has a point. Now, we see the motive here of Judas that he wanted to dip into the coffers himself and supply for his own retirement needs. That wasn't going to happen. Well, Jesus, verse 7, said, "Let her alone against the day of my buying. She hath kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." So Jesus allows Mary to do what she's doing, and he commends her for this. Verse 9, "Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead." Here are some people coming out to this dinner. I'm taking it that they weren't invited, but they wanted to see what they thought would be a show. Here's Jesus, here's the disciples, here's all these people around him. There's Lazarus, who he raised from the dead. My goodness, isn't that going to be neat to see this guy who experienced death and is now there talking amongst all these people? Is that a good thing? Maybe, maybe not. Verse 10. "But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death." Well, we know the chief priests. We know that they had it in for Jesus. Certainly this was not an activity of any report that is good. Now they're seeking to put Lazarus on the dead because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Yikes. May I say to you that we deal with the greed of Judas and we say that's not a good thing. I would like to say to you that the greed of the chief priests is even worse. Now let's go back and look at these things again, because I said that was a quick judgment. Let's look at who was there and what they did. There they made him a supper. Nothing big or important there, is there? Anyone could make a supper. Well, we don't know who the they is. We read Mark's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel, we'll find out that this was transpiring in the house of Simon the leper, whom Jesus has healed. I think Simon is doing this because he wants to say to Jesus how much he has appreciated what Jesus did for him. Was it necessary for Jesus to have a supper? And the answer is yes. He is now coming down from northeast of Jerusalem, and in the next day, he is going to be entering into Jerusalem. The rest of the Gospels tells us that in the day he's in Jerusalem, but at night he goes back out to Bethany and abides there overnight, each day. I take it he was abiding here in the house of Simon. And if you're going to be a good host, you better give the man something to eat. So that was a good thing. But not only was he just providing a meal for Jesus and his disciples, apparently he had asked others, such as Lazarus, to come. What did he want? He wanted the fellowship of God's people. And that's a good thing. And he took the opportunity to be amongst God's people. We have opportunities from time to time, traveling missionaries coming through that need housing, that need a meal. And we say, well, anybody could do that. Yep, pretty much anybody could provide a meal. Question, though, what did Simon feed him? Don't know. Could it have been surf and turf? No, it couldn't have been surf and turf. Lobster was on the forbidden list of Mosaic foods. But could he have served him prime rib? I mean, something really extravagant in meals. Well, he didn't need an extravagant meal. He just needed a meal. Sometimes we back off from doing these kinds of things because we say, well, I'm not that great of a cook. Or my house isn't that great to have somebody. And we miss the fellowship of God's people. Simon took the opportunity for fellowship and made a meal. Okay, and Martha served. Well, how much talent does it take to serve? How many spiritual gifts are required to be a servant? Well, that's about it. It doesn't take any real talent. Here, give this to so-and-so. And you just take the plate and serve that person. But here again, we say, well, anybody could do that. They don't need me. Well, if everyone said that, Jesus wouldn't have eaten. So we commend Martha for the simple fact that she was serving. And oh, by the way, remember the first time we meet Martha, she was complaining that she was the only one serving. No complaints here. In fact, we don't read of anybody else serving. It's just her. No complaints. And there's Lazarus sitting at the table. Just a bump on a log. And all he's doing is eating. Oh, wait a minute. Look at the last phrase there. Lazarus was one of them that sat at table with him. Do you think Jesus was excited to see Lazarus? I would say he was very excited to see Lazarus. Of all the miracles that he did, as I said last week, I think that was the crowning one so far. I think God rejoices when he sees his people, the work he has done in wanting to fellowship with him. Let me ask you a question. And I'm preaching to the choir here. Why do you come to church? Why do you come to a worship service? Well, sometimes we come simply because it's the thing that we do. Sometimes we come out of guilt. But do you realize that every time we come here, we are coming to a special place at a special time to meet in a special way with God? And Lazarus, all he had to do there is sit and eat supper. But what made it important is that he was sitting there with his Savior. So we commend Lazarus just for eating supper. Well, then comes along Mary with a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, again, a year's worth of wages. And she anointed the feet of Jesus. Mark tells us that she not only anointed his feet, but his head as well. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. Mark also tells us that this ointment was kept in an alabaster box. And the box was broken so that the totality of the ointment was poured out upon Jesus. Not just a little bit. I mean, she went the whole way with this thing. And we could say to ourselves, did she really have to use all of it? Couldn't she have just reached in and take a little on her fingers and dabbed it on Jesus' head and take a little more on her fingers, dabbed it on Jesus' feet? I mean, why did she have to be so extravagant? Couldn't she have gotten a lesser ointment that didn't cost quite as much and use that? And then that money that was used for that could have been used for the poor and done doubly good. And we start questioning these things. And we look at this servant of God and we say, well, we appreciate what she did, but we don't really appreciate the methodology of how she did it. It could have been done better. Wait a minute. What was the purpose of Mary doing this? Interestingly enough, the other Gospels also said that the rest of the disciples were complaining that this was a waste of money. Judas was not the only one who was upset about this. Now, the other disciples weren't looking to get a personal gain out of it, but they saw other opportunities for ministry. Why was Mary doing what she was doing? Bible scholars debate Mary's motive, but I think it's rather clear. I think she understood by what Jesus says of this in verse 7. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying, she has kept this. I think she understood that Jesus was about to die. Which is interesting. She understood because not too long before this, Jesus had said very plainly to his disciples, I'm going into Jerusalem, and there I'm going to be handed over to the chief priests and so forth. And there they're going to crucify me. Peter stood up to him. Matthew chapter 16. Oh, no, you're not. That ain't going to happen. And they didn't get it. Even at this point in time, they didn't really get it that he was going to die in the coming days. I think Mary got it. Which is interesting. Here are these learned theologians. Didn't have a clue as to what was going on. And here is, and please don't take this derogatorily, but here was this woman. She got it. She understood. She paid attention. She got it. We commend her for that. But still, couldn't have she used something a little bit less? Why did she use something so expensive? Because I think it speaks of her love for her Savior. How much do you love me? You know, the Lord's going to ask Peter three times in his post-resurrection appearance there, Peter, do you love me? That's the question. I think Mary demonstrated just how much she loved him. May I say to you, the degree that we love Jesus is measured by what we are willing to sacrifice for him. Could it have been too extravagant? And the answer is yes. When it is more than what one is capable of giving. Look once again at verse 7. Let her alone against the day of my burying. She hath kept this. In other words, she had been storing this up for a period of time. So that when the time presented itself, it was on hand. Interesting, as I said in my Sunday school class a couple of weeks ago, what really was a waste was on the day of Jesus' resurrection. You will remember that there were a bunch of women going out to the sepulcher. And they were going out with spices for a specific purpose. To anoint the body of Jesus in his death. Mary was not one of them. She'd already performed that. Now, these women had bought these spices to put in the wrappings around him. And they got to the sepulcher. Guess who wasn't there? Do you know what was a real waste? The spices that those women bought. Because they didn't do it in a specific time. And look what Jesus says in verse 8. The poor always you have with you, but you have me not always. You have a time now which this ministry can be carried out. In a couple of days, you won't have that opportunity again. Mary said, I've got this opportunity now to express my love for my Savior, and I'm going all out. And I think she is to be commended. That wasn't extravagant at all. In fact, if it's measured on the basis of what Jesus is worth, she couldn't spend enough. How do I know this to be true? Well, look at the phrase back in verse 3 again. Not only did she anoint his feet with this thing and with all of it that the smell permeated the whole house, but she wiped his feet with her hair. Why'd she do that with her? Couldn't she have gotten a towel somewhere and wiped his feet with that? Why her hair? What would have been any softer than her hair. I think that was the softest thing that was in the house. And she wanted to give Jesus her best. Not only was price not an object, humility was not an object as well. Well, now we come to Judas. This could have been sold, but he wanted to dip in, get something for himself, and go off from there. Reason being, he didn't care anything about the poor, and he didn't really care anything about Jesus. All he cared about was himself. Now we come to verse 9, much of the Jews. They're coming to see this party, this dinner. And they're coming not just for Jesus' sake, but they're coming to see Lazarus. Are there things that bring people out to the congregation of God's people that are for the wrong reasons? I shouldn't say this. Don't amen me yet. But I shouldn't say this. I did not see in the bulletin. My wife told me that it was in the bulletin. I didn't read the announcement. That this surprise dinner for me. And there's a story behind that. When I was on vacation the last time, we stayed home and watched the services online. Because we had never seen it online before. Roy comes up, pastor's not here. Let me tell you about this surprise dinner for the pastor. And we're sitting there.
Oh boy.
I came in that Wednesday. Roy was sitting where Mark is. I said to Roy, when are you going to tell me about this surprise dinner? He said, how did you find out? That is hilarious. Will there be people here next week, Sunday evening, that don't normally come out for a Sunday evening service? And the answer is yes. And while I will greatly appreciate their willingness to come out for this event, isn't the worship of God more important? These people were coming to see Lazarus. Not that that's bad. But there was something better than Lazarus sitting at the table. Now we come to the chief priests. They consulted how they might put Lazarus also to death. Why? Because all these people were coming to see Lazarus, and if they come to see Lazarus and Jesus is there, they're going to recognize that Jesus resurrected him and or raised him from the dead. Now they're going to start believing on Jesus, and man, our time as priests is over. We're out of a job. This won't be good. Do you remember the last time that Caiaphas had said, look, guys, you've got this all wrong. We don't have to get all upset about the whole people. We only need for one man to die, and everything will be fine. Apparently, they forgot that, because now they want two men to die. Might you say that they, too, were getting extravagant in what they thought needed to be done? Actually, if they took care of Jesus the way they wanted to and the way that they would in another week's time, according to their thinking, everything would be fine. Lazarus did end up dying. Now many people today are running around saying, wasn't Lazarus a wonderful person? Not that we've forgotten him altogether, but our theology is not based upon Lazarus. Let me ask you something. Have you overreacted to someone that you thought was in the wrong? Like, you've got a fly buzzing around in the house. Thing's irritating. It's always flying right past you, and, you know, it's interrupting whatever you're doing. What do you need to get rid of the fly? A fly swatter. That's all you need. But you say, I think I'll call the exterminator and have the whole house fumigated. Or better yet, I'll just get a stick of TNT and blow the whole house up. That'll take care of that fly. Now, maybe that's exaggerating a little bit too much. But have there ever been times in your life when you've been offended by somebody and just a picayunist little thing, and you start thinking of how you're going to get back at them? And the way you get back is twice as bad as the way they bothered you. And sometimes good people act like bad people. Sometimes good people don't act like good people. You come up with excuses for doing the right thing. And sometimes good people criticize the good things that good people do. And I think that's what was going on here in this passage. And I think each and every one of us is capable of doing likewise. Let's be careful in our evaluation of things that we do what God lays on our heart to do. Even if it means just sitting at a table and eating with somebody. Which, by the way, I'm glad to do with you at any time. Sometimes we get a little upset with things. I'll give you an example. Years ago, when I was going down to ABC for my MA degree, I stayed on campus. There were no provisions for meals given by the school because at that time the students were away, the cafeteria was shut down. So I was on my own to provide my meals. During the week, there were homework assignments each night that were quite extensive. So there wasn't any time for running around doing any free time type of stuff. I had enough time in the morning to go out for breakfast, in the evening to go out for supper, come back, do all my reading assignments, and go to bed. That was my day. One morning, I went out to Bob Evans for breakfast. I was thinking about my wife. I missed her. You know what's coming. I didn't have time to go shopping to say, I got you this while I was away. Didn't have time to do that. But I missed her. And I wanted to, when I got home, I knew she was going to have a special dinner waiting for me, and she missed me too, because we did have time to talk for a few minutes each day. And I'm sitting there at the counter, and they brought my breakfast to me, and they brought the little cubicle of jellies. And I saw in there they had sugar-free jellies. I said, my wife likes sugar-free stuff. I took a couple of those sugar-free jellies. And when I got home, I said, I was thinking of you down there and I got you something. Now she's thinking flowers, some type of an expensive jewelry. And I pull out a couple of packets of sugar-free jelly. We went out for dinner the next couple of days. My motives were pure. I wasn't very extravagant. And I should have been. And we judge, and we condemn, and we should. Let's be careful, as people of God, to do the things that God's people do for God's glory. Let's pray. Father, We thank you tonight for your goodness to us. We not only owe our lives, we owe everything to you. And simply put, there is just no way that we can be extravagant by giving 100%. Lord, may we be faithful to do what only you lay upon our hearts to do, whether it be the minutest little thing like sitting at a table and eating, serving, or providing housing and a meal, or anointing someone's feet and wiping them with our hair. Lord, may our service and praise be that which is fitting to you and bring glory to your name. For you have given everything to us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Good week.